Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger with flattereth which her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forsaketh the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher with another Friday Focus. This week I've been greatly blessed reading the classic book by E.M. Bounds on prayer. E.M. Bounds was a lawyer and wrote extensively on the subject of prayer. His writing is clear, his convictions are deep, and his burden for prayer is extensive. In his book, he highlights that prayer involves the whole person. You cannot be a man or woman of prayer unless you're totally devoted to God from head to toe. A divided life, a wavering commitment to Christ and his cause, belies the whole concept of prayer. The praying men and women of the Bible were totally given over to the service and the glory of the Lord. Their lives were as whole burnt offerings offered up on the altar of sacrifice, their reasonable service unto God as living sacrifices. There can be nothing of self or selfishness in the man who would call on God. He must be surrendered to God's will. He will hold no argument with the scriptures of truth. His attitude will be, God said it, I believe it. One not-so-small matter dealt with by E.M. Bounds is the need to pray for preachers of the gospel. We have few men because we have few who are praying for men to be called of God to preach and mission in this world that is perishing for the lack of the bread of life, the Word of God. The Lord commanded that we are to pray the Lord of the harvest to thrust men forth into the fields that are white unto harvest. No organization, no church can put that bent to preach in a man's heart. God is sovereign in this work of calling men to leave the boats and nets of life to give themselves entirely to the preaching ministry. God will call the best men and equip them the best, but it is every believer's duty to pray for God to do this work. Every gospel witness I know of is strapped for men who are called of God. At this time, I feel compelled to devote myself to this prayer ministry to ask God to raise up preachers in Canada. There are so many places in this nation without a preacher sent of God to preach the book. Oh, there may be men who have found a niche for themselves in religion, but they are hiding the light under a bushel, if there be any light in them at all. If we love the Lord's name and if we love the souls of Canadians, we will each pray more and more for God to send preachers of the word. Will you join me in that ministry of prayer for preachers? Now, in the news this week, this has been a terrible week in world news. The pandemic rages, lives are being lost, more pockets of infection are breaking out, and the news regarding senior care in care homes is horrifying. Recently, Canada introduced a culture of death for seniors by offering end-of-life services. Anyone who requests to have their life ended for any reason may be granted the right to die. Such an attitude has horrified us all. On top of that, the recent revelations of elder care in many institutions where patients are greatly neglected and so many were infected by COVID-19 virus has exposed how seniors have been undervalued. Not in all cases, but in enough to reveal the lack of moral convictions in our nation. There has been an outcry, but the secular godless attitude continues. With abortions and euthanasia a common practice in this nation, life has been cheapened. People need to know that every person is created by God in the image of God. Man is the only creature that walks upright. He is meant to look up, not down to the earth. Every person has a soul that is worth more than the whole world. Every person is a reflection of God the Creator. No matter how broken or weak the person is, God gives that life and it is His right to take it away. Souls come from God and return to God. For this reason, God sent us a Savior, even His own Son, to save us from our sins. The believer in Christ is not his own. He is bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the Savior of the world, and therefore, the hope of the world. If only all men and women would receive the Lord Jesus into their lives, then they would have new life and live with a fullness of purpose to glorify God. The Christian who is rightly related to God through faith in Christ has a fullness of life that only the born-again person can experience. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to the Father, and without Him there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. In the midst of pandemics, protests, riots, and rebellion to authority around this world, this has been a bad week in the news. It's time for the good news that Jesus saves. He saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. Go to the Lord in prayer today. Go in faith and repentance to live in the good news of the gospel, because Jesus truly saves. Now we have our first item of music. Stay with us as today we let the Bible speak.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place.
When we all
get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
When we all
see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory, shout the victory, shout the victory.
While we walk
Listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Our message today is in Isaiah chapter 44, this book of encouragement to the exiled people of God. The mighty marvel of this book, especially these chapters in the latter half of Isaiah, where Isaiah was called to comfort ye my people. Here they were written well over 100 years before the exile took place, so that when the children of Israel were in their 70-year captivity and they referred to the scriptures, and they did, as we know from Ezekiel and Daniel, that who were in that Babylonian captivity, well, here was the Lord's word right to encourage their hearts in their time of need. Now let me give you a little survey of this chapter 44. In verses 1 to 8 you have God's wonder of grace. And he says, is there a God beside me? And of course the absolute answer is no. He's the only one. But the marvel is that he's a God of grace. He deals with Israel not according to their sins, but in spite of their sins. He is faithful to them, even though they were not faithful to him. And that's a great encouragement to us. Take that to heart today. Let that be your encouragement today, that we worship and serve a God of grace who deals with us in mercy, in undeserved mercy, and he will bless us, even though we feel him in many ways. In verses 9 to 20 of this chapter, we have God's warning. And it's a warning about idols. I'll just read to you the verse 9. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. They are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. And right down through this passage, verses 9 through 20, the prophet, through the word of the Lord, shows the ridiculous nature of the idols that are made and set up as gods. How the carpenter takes the wood, he cuts down the tree, he uses his tools to design the idol, and he makes bread with part of the wood. He burns part of the wood to keep himself warm, and the other he turns into his god. But of course, they cannot see, they cannot hear, and there is a terrible blindness and stupidity upon people who resort to idols. And I pray that this land of Canada does not become a nation of idolatry. God's curse is upon idolatry. It is, idols are an abomination in his sight. And so we need to pray that through the knowledge of the Lord, that men and women will be turned away from their idols. And oh, they are found in so many places in this country, in temples and churches, as well as homes. And if you are an idol worshipper, I mean I-D-O-L, that means an object, an image of some kind that you have turned into your god, throw it out. Be done with it. If seek the Lord alone by faith, not to worship him by a graven image. And it was for that idolatry that the people of Israel were sent into captivity in Babylon. They were incorrigible idolaters, even though the prophets preached against them, even though the warnings of God were many, they would not give up their idols until they were taken into their 70-year bondage in Babylon. And that was God's cure. God truly cured the Jewish people from idolatry. And when they came back from Babylon to Jerusalem, they were reformed, and they were avid haters of idolatry, and they were witnesses to the truth that the true Lord God was Jehovah. And even 500 years later, in the days of Christ, the Jews, though wrong in many things, they were not idolaters, and they were delivered and cured from that idolatry. I wonder what it's going to take to cure our nation, and perhaps to cure you from your idolatry, the idolatry of the dollar, worshipping the world, worshipping the pride of man. Turn to the Lord, give him your heart, and he will save your soul and greatly bless you. Now, in the next section of this chapter, Isaiah 44, we have verse 21 to the end of the chapter. God is wooing his people. And he says in verse 22, "Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." And here he is calling his people back to serve him. Now, God wooed his people by his personal claim upon Israel. "Thou art my servant." And that means they were created, they were brought into existence as a nation and a peculiar people to serve the Lord. They were the servants of God. And so God calls for total loyalty. What a terrible thing, while under employment to your boss, you don't go working for the competition. You don't go working for somebody else, using your time and talents while you're being employed by your own employer. And this disloyalty is a common theme in the book of Isaiah. Jacob was chosen to be the servant of the Lord. And every believer, every Christian, is the servant of the Lord. And your loyalty must be toward the God of heaven. Now, in ancient times, a servant very often served in a household all his days. He may have been born into it, and he would live out his life and die as a servant in that household. And you and I are born again. We are brought into the family of God to serve the Lord. We have no loyalty to any other God, any other religion, but the God of the Bible and the truth of the gospel. And you and I have no other reason to live on this earth than to serve the Lord. He puts his personal claim upon us. God also woos by his promise of care for Israel. We're told in verse 21 that, "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me." And here is God's constant care of his own people. Now, this was Israel's great fear, especially when in the exile, while Jerusalem was fallen and laying in rubble, the people of God may well have thought that God had neglected them, forgotten them, as they were in servitude to the Babylonians. Now, this is always the fear of the true Christian, that perhaps through some folly of our own, through some neglect of our own that the Lord forgets us. But this is a very healthy fear, because the true Christian never wants to depart from the Lord and never wants to lose out with God. And so it must not be turned to unbelief or to deny the promises of the Lord. We listen here to the wooing of the Savior, and he promises not to forget us. That's a constant theme in this book of Isaiah. In chapter 49:15, he asks, "Can a mother forget her suckling child? She may, but the Lord will never." Now, it is very unnatural for a mother to forget her suckling child. When it's time to feed the baby, the mother knows and will not forget. And likewise, the Lord will not forget his people. His love is constant and his grace is free. Now, another way by which he woos us and draws us back to himself is by declaring our total pardon. He says in verse 22, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions." How wonderful is this? And living here in the greater Vancouver area, we have many days when we don't see the sun at all. The cloud is heavy in the sky. It remains dark. Whether it's actually raining or not, usually is, but we can't see the sun. We can't see the blue sky because of the thick cloud. And the Lord has promised that he has blotted out, he has erased all our transgressions as a thick cloud. He doesn't see them. And as a cloud, thy sins. Now, you may be well aware of your sins, and you may know your own history, but the Lord Jesus sees no sin in his own redeemed people. If you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, you are clean. If you have been declared righteous by the Lord, you have that perfect white righteousness of the Savior to your account. And so God doesn't drive us away telling us that we're sinful and unfit, but rather he reminds us and he invites us to enjoy the cleansing of his own redeeming blood, because he has blotted out our transgressions as a thick cloud. Now, moving on down the chapter, we see that God woos us by prophesying that Jerusalem and the temple will be rebuilt. And this is one of the great marvels in the history of the latter part of the Old Testament. The second temple, after the 70-year exile, the people of God were allowed back and they rebuilt the city and the temple with the blessing of the Persian king Cyrus. And down here at the close of this chapter, verse 28, it says, "That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid." And this is one of the wonders of history in the Old Testament, that this Persian heathen king, he was convinced that it was the will of God that the Jews should go back to Jerusalem, rebuild the city and the temple, and pray for him. That's what he requested, that the people would pray for him. And as I say, this is the wonder of that age. Now, God is on the throne, And he is the sovereign Lord of history. He lifts up and he pulls down. And of course, he turns the world for his own will and his pleasure. Now, that's a great thing to lay hold upon in these times of this awful pandemic, because right now we need to know that God is governing the world according to his will. And he will use this pandemic, he will use political adversity and economic hardship to turn men and women to do his will. And we can rest in that with great confidence that the Lord will indeed lead his people into the paths of righteousness and the paths of blessing. So here we have a wonderful God whom we serve, and we must learn to trust him. Trust him with our health. Trust him with our finances. Trust him with our witnessing as a church. And of course, trust him with the salvation of our souls. Will you trust him today? Put your hope and confidence in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.